The Guardian.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Jones. This is The Guardian podcast from Liverpool, European capital of culture this year. And we're here for one of the big art events of the year in Liverpool, which is the Gustav Klimt exhibition in Tate Liverpool. And we're standing outside, and the first thing you come across is these wonderful shiny gold letters, Gustav Klimt. And at the moment, they're still polishing them, and it's a great Klimt moment, actually, to see these guys actually on a stepladder polishing the letters to get them really gold and really shiny, because, of course, that's what we all associate with Gustav Klimt. This exhibition, I hope, is going to show us that there's a lot more to him than that. So let's go in and find out. Well, we've just come across a naked woman standing in front of us in Tate Liverpool. She's looming over me, actually. Her pubic hair is at eye level, and it's a reddy-brown colour, the same colour as the great mantle of hair that curves around her head. She's holding up a mirror towards me, towards us, and there's gold leaf around her, and that she's also, there's a bluey-green waters which swirl and flow around her body, and which kind of colour her body and soften her body. Her flesh actually is very softly painted, and there's a snake, a blue snake coiled around her ankles, which is very phallic, now I come to look at it more closely. And the snake is coiling over a gold plinth at the bottom of the picture, which says, Nuda Veritas, Gustav Klimt, his signature. And it's Naked Truth. That's what this painting is called. Nuda Veritas, Naked Truth. And it's Klimt's manifesto. In a way, this is the most important painting in the exhibition, because I think it's the manifesto for what Klimt was doing as an artist. A lot of people think of Klimt as almost a soft artist. He's a decorative artist, a very beautiful artist, lots of gold, nice subjects like kissing and love. But he's an erotic artist, he's a sexual artist, and he was a sexual revolutionary. This was a tremendously controversial painting in Vienna in 1899 when it was painted. Klimt was a tremendously controversial artist. He was seen as defying the conventions, defying respectability. This room includes Klimt's posters for the secession. The secession was the avant-garde movement that he helped to found, and he was the first president of it. And they were rejecting traditional ways of making art. And there's two versions of his poster for it. One of them, you actually don't see the difference at first, but when you look closely, what you realise is that it was censored. And the pubic hair, it shows Theseus slaying the Minotaur. But he had to redo it, he was told to censor out Theseus's pubic hair. So what he did was kind of hilarious. It's a joke, because instead of putting a fig leaf or something, he put a tree in front of his, as if overdoing it. He overdid the censorship. He put a tree in front of Theseus. So this is a man who believed in the naked truth. It wasn't that he was just interested in painting the nude. It wasn't that he was just interested in, you know, kind of sensuality in his art. He was saying something stronger. He was saying, Nuda Veritas, the naked truth. This is the truth about human beings, sex. Well, we've come from Klimt's Nuda Veritas, naked truth, to looking at more naked truth, a lot more naked truth. We're looking at Klimt's erotic drawings, of which there's a generous sample here, but it's only a small proportion of the saucy, dirty, pornographic, very sensual drawings that he did. I'm looking directly at a woman who's lying down, she's lifted up her dress. The Tate caption says, reclining half-length nude with spread thighs, which is a kind of very modest way of putting it, but what it is is a beautiful blue-green, very rapid and yet very bold and firm delineation of a woman who's lying down with her skirts raised up. She's got this great, ample kind of soft form, and she's masturbating, basically. She's got her fingers between her thighs, and she's enjoying herself, she's pleasuring herself, and her face is, as in the faces of a lot of Klimt's women, is kind of almost a mask of sensual abandon, basically. Absolutely libidinal, sensual images, and you wonder why Klimt drew them. You can't really say, oh, these are studies for his work, and, you know, kind of academic way. I mean, there's no question that he's pleasuring himself by making the drawings. These are part of Klimt's sex life. and what was Klimt's sex life. Actually, it's very mysterious. You can tell from these drawings that it was fairly rich and active, but he didn't leave any letters or diaries. So contemporary rumour had it, the gossip was that he slept with most of his models and with most of his portrait, you know, rich women he painted portraits of as well. But you must also remember there is a context for this, for what Klimt's doing. We're talking about Vienna around about 1900. It's the moment when Sigmund Freud, a Viennese doctor, was writing the interpretation of dreams and his case studies, inventing psychoanalysis. Central to Freud's psychoanalysis is the belief that sexuality is at the heart of human emotional and psychological development. Freud is saying that at the exact moment, in the exact same city, Vienna, that Klimt is making this art. They're almost doubles.
I thought it was absolutely wonderful. The colours and perspectives are fantastic. I'd never seen any in any other exhibition, and today was a real revelation for me. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Particularly like the way he portrays women. I think he's got a fantastic eye for women, and the sensuality of the pitch is just absolutely stunning, and we're definitely coming back.
Oh yes, we'll be back, that's for sure.
We're looking at a tremendous, formidable work of art. It's a huge square painting. Two men entwined, they're both kind of in black robes with bits of colour, flashes of colour. One of them has a colourful headband on. One is younger, one is older. They're really almost wrapped around each other in this monumental way, painted in a fantastic staccato Grimm style. And it's not by Klimt. This is a Klimt exhibition, but it's also about Klimt and his world. It's about the context of Klimt. There's an awful lot of furniture in the exhibition. There's a lot of attention given to the Wiener Werkstätte, which was the Viennese version of the arts and crafts movement. This painting is, for me, actually the greatest piece of contextual stuff in the show, because what this is a self-portrait by Egon Schiele, Klimt's younger contemporary artist, of Klimt. It's Schiele and Klimt together, the two giants of Austrian modern art, the two giants of art in Vienna at the beginning of the 20th century. Schiele was younger than Klimt, and Schiele is, to put it crudely, an expressionist, whereas Klimt was this grand, almost classical artist in some sense. He had this monumental, glorious, rich, opulent style. Schiele is just much more brutal. He's a really brutal painter, and yet he identifies with Klimt here. Why is Schiele painting himself with Klimt, who was older? And Klimt himself thought that Schiele had kind of overtaken him, but I think it's a homage. Klimt was the banner, he was this great revolutionary who had been controversial. Just like Klimt did all these erotic drawings, so did Schiele. You know, and both of them, in a way, the best way to approach them is through their drawings. But Schiele actually got imprisoned. He was accused basically of child pornography. So this painting is about two hermits, two outsiders, rebels. Let's ask one of the visitors what they think of this painting by Schiele.
It makes me feel very insecure, just like the two heads are almost like one body with two heads, and it's really scary. And it's a complete contrast to the four landscapes and the other, which are some of the most beautiful paintings I've seen anywhere. I think they're just stunning. That I've just read about the other artist who I didn't know about as a sort of a pupil of Klimt, and obviously they're very close, it shows in the picture, but I find it very disturbing, actually.
But hang on a minute, where is the painting Water Serpents, the one that's on the cover and the one that's on the poster? And I'll tell you what, let's ask Helen, who's one of the information assistants.
It's actually on its way from Vienna, it's still not here, it's the only one that was delayed in coming, so unfortunately...
And it's on the cover of the catalogue.
Yeah, and it's on the cover of the catalogue, so everyone has been asking where is it, because it's one of the most popular ones as well. So unfortunately it's not here yet, but hopefully, fingers crossed, it will be arriving shortly.
It'll be arriving shortly, okay, well that's... And here we're looking at another portrait. This is Klimt's portrait of Eugenia Primavesi,
who was one of his patrons. Klimt had very rich patrons who tended to come from the industrial elite, the upper echelon of the industrial bourgeoisie in Vienna. Not the court, not the... Remember that Vienna, 1900s, is still... It's the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It's sort of stumbling towards democracy. It's been stumbling towards democracy, but it is essentially an empire which goes back to the Middle Ages. It's a feudal aristocracy still in power, and the bourgeoisie are sort of still trying to create a kind of what you might call a liberal culture, and Klimt is very much at the heart of that. And all this about sexual liberation that you see in Klimt's art, it's the culture of these people. They're very sophisticated, obviously very sophisticated, intelligent people. This is a portrait of Eugenia Primavesi. She's wearing a flowery dress. The flowers burst out of the painting. They explode out of the painting in a great kaleidoscope, which breaks up the surface of the painting completely into shattered little daubs. It's quite, you know, violent daubs. Really more like it's a rougher style than we associate with Klimt. This is actually quite a late painting, 1913 to 14, when he's actually rejected the gold style, which is famous, and he's starting to be almost more expressionist, more like younger artists like Schiele of the time. But Klimt's portraits of women are among his great masterpieces. His most famous work now is probably his portrait of Adele Bloch-Bauer, which was sold a couple of years ago for an obscene amount of money. And, you know, that belongs to a whole genre of very often very stately, very ornate portraits of women. But they're adoring portraits of women. They're reverent portraits of women. Women came to him and wanted to be portrayed by him. There's a tremendous vitality and intimacy to this portrait. And let's ask one of our fellow visitors what they think.
I find in his painting a depiction of decadence. It's exotic, decadent, sensual, and it is the exact opposite in humanity from Van Gogh. I think one Van Gogh, that's worth a lot of those.
Interesting. Point of view.
Yeah.
It's an interesting... I think some people do feel that Klimt is almost a cold...
Yes. Yeah, cold. Very cold. I think there's an evil in it. Yeah.
That's great. Really?
Yeah.
It's very different from the other portraits that I've seen. First of all, the colour is what strikes you immediately. The figure is much more defined than in the other portraits, which are sort of slightly more ethereal and mysterious. But again, she's got that sort of floating. It's not quite clear whether she's standing or sitting, and that's similar to the others. But what's striking, I think, is the colour, the decoration, and the sort of abstraction almost of the colour. It's not as sort of carefully defined as some of the other work.
Well, we've got to admit now, we've been a bit perverse, kind of guardian perversity here. We've done this kind of backwards because we're now looking at the work which, if you come and see the show, you'll begin with, you'll see first. But I've kept it as a climax. This is Klimt's Beethoven Frieze. It's actually a replica of the original, which is on permanent view in the Secession Building in Vienna, which it was created for. Now, this is an attempt by Klimt to visualise, even to sort of illustrate, if you like, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. What you have in the Beethoven Frieze, which is one of Klimt's most ambitious kind of public monumental works, he's aspiring to the condition of music. And it's very strange and very dramatic because it's a huge frieze covering three walls of a room, but a lot of it is emptiness. A lot of it is void. It's just white. It's just white plaster. It starts out with literally just two panels of white plaster with angelic figures floating just above the very top of the picture, and it's almost like you can imagine it like a Wagnerian prelude, like a very quiet, and then da-da, something happens, and there's a knight in a tall, fierce, proud knight in gold with his sword, and he represents the human soul setting out on the struggle of life. And then again gets quieter again, a quiet bit or empty bit, this void, and then a really loud bit, the Ride of the Valkyries, where you have a king, this is the bit everyone's eyes are drawn to when they look at it, because it's a huge ape. It's like King Kong surrounded by emaciated figures of sin and death and the Furies, and a very fat figure representing excess. These are the temptations and perils that you encounter on the road of life. And above all, there's this huge monster who's like a... Well, he's a grotesque embodiment of all the monsters in Greek myth, really. And then again, everything goes quiet and empty. There's this emptiness again, this white emptiness, and a figure representing music itself. She's a Greek muse, and she's very thin and just in this gold dress, and she's very gently strumming on a golden lyre. So it's the sort of the Apollonian spirit of music. And then again, there's just this emptiness again. There's another phase of complete emptiness. And then the climax, which is Klimt's visualization of the end of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which is the Ode to Joy. And they're saying, Heil Freude. And this is that you have the kind of choir, you have a choir of angels who you're to imagine singing, you know, they're actually singing the Ode to Joy from the end of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. You know, one of the key words in the poem that Beethoven sets is, key phrase is, this kiss for the whole world, this kiss to the whole world. And here are the lovers embracing in a great kiss, which is shared with everyone. And it's a very ecstatic and actually tremendously optimistic way, which is why I wanted to end our tour here, because Klimt's actually got a great optimistic vision, his love, his goldness, his opulence. He's an artist, basically he believes in beauty. When you look at the Beethoven frieze, when you look at this emptiness and voids in it, this is a real great modern artist, an abstract artist, somebody who wants art to be like music, to have these great abstract silences within it. And yet also you see an artist who's an optimist. Klimt believed in beauty. For all his transgression, for all his revolution, for all his controversy, he is an artist who believes in the beauty of human beings, the beauty of existence, the beauty of life. And that makes him an artist. I think that's the reason he's such a popular artist. And it's the reason he deserves to be a popular artist, because there are not many great modern artists who are optimists. And I think it makes him an artist for our time, because we need that kind of... Maybe we need to recover that belief in life ourselves.
Great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.